You have questions about Connecticut personal injury law? Then you've found your podcast. Connecticut personal injury attorney Ryan McKean keeps it real. Straight talk, live from Glastonbury, Connecticut. This is Ryan McKean.
Good morning. I'm here with Connecticut divorce attorney Dave Post. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Ryan. Thanks for having me.
Dave, and today we're going to talk about divorce in the context of a personal injury case. Now, sometimes people, while they're married, they may receive a settlement, or they may have an ongoing case when they get divorced. And a lot of people out there have questions about how that gets divided. So today, we're going to talk about some of those things, Dave.
Sure. Thanks, Ryan. So first, generally, in the context of a divorce, what we're really doing is taking marital assets and debts and figuring out a way to divide them fairly and equitably. Now, the easiest way to think of that is probably dividing them equally, but it doesn't necessarily mean a 50-50 split. We're going to take a lot of different factors into consideration in deciding what's fair and what's equitable. The first question is whether an asset is truly a marital asset, and something probably the biggest consideration would be a premarital asset consideration, trying to figure out, did somebody own this before they ever met or before they were married? That might be something that is not considered a marital asset versus something that was acquired during the marriage or that happened as part of the marriage would be a much clearer something that was much clearly determined to be a marital asset.
Okay, just talk, maybe folks don't know, just like what is, how do you sort of determine what is and what is not a marital asset? And I know that's probably a really complicated question, and, in any specific case, you should really consult with, an experienced Connecticut divorce attorney. But in general, can you just talk about that a little bit?
Sure. Generally, Connecticut's called a quasi-community property state. So really, regardless of when or how something is acquired, it's going to be taken into consideration, right? So everything is sort of, we start with the idea that it's probably a marital asset, everything you own, including debts. And then maybe there are reasons to take it off the table or to take it out of that category. Again, premarital assets. And there are a number of other factors that come into play. Maybe contributions to the asset, whether they were specific to one spouse or the other, things like that.
And would a settlement, say somebody, they got a settlement before divorce, would that be considered marital, or would that be considered property that may have to be divided?
Potentially, but again, if a settlement was received by someone prior to the marriage, it's not a simple answer, but that would be probably your first argument to say that, no, this isn't a marital asset, but instead a premarital asset. And that might be something that, if we start with the idea that put everything on the table and we're trying to figure out who gets what, that might be something you pull off the table. But really, anything you receive or anything you own up until the date a divorce is finalized is really going to be taken into consideration, including a personal injury settlement or monies received through verdict.
Now, I mean, somebody out there may be listening to this and they may say, that seems very unfair, right? Because you're a person and maybe you were in the car accident and it was your pain and it was all the things that you went through. Does that factor in at all in if you're getting divorced? Does that matter?
Sure. There's going to be a lot of factors taken into consideration. When the accident occurred, did it occur prior to the marriage? Did it happen during the marriage? How did the injury affect someone medically, or how might it affected their ability to work? Right. If you receive monies in settlement, but you're no longer able to work for the rest of your life, that might be a reason for that injured spouse to hold on to those assets because they don't otherwise have the ability to work. Or if the injured spouse had severe injuries or continuing medical costs, and if those monies were either specifically earmarked or were needed to continue that medical care or continue that treatment, again, that might be taken into consideration in determining how it's divided.
Now, if there's a divorce that's ongoing and then somebody's in an accident, do you, going through the divorce, as a divorce lawyer, do you have to value that claim? And if so, how does that get valued?
That's an interesting question. That's a little bit more complicated if the accident occurred while a divorce was pending. At some level, once a divorce is filed, that's sort of a potential line of demarcation to say, well, this isn't something that truly happened during the marriage. It may be more during the period of separation while the divorce is pending. And again, that might be something that if you haven't actually received the monies yet, it's not an asset, right? We never know what might happen with a case, whether it's it may look like the greatest case on earth when it's filed, but you know, we've all seen cases that you know, that fall flat and don't result in a settlement. So that you could try, but that would be difficult to value that until the monies were actually received and the asset was actually in hand.
Sure. Wow. So, I mean, there's a real lot to think about. And I think what I'm hearing from you, Dave, is that if you are getting divorced and you've either had a settlement or you may have a claim. I mean, say you could even imagine a situation where, you know, in Connecticut, there's a 2-year statute of limitations. And, you know, a year ago, you got in a car accident. And then a year goes by, you get a divorce. You know, that's really going to be something that you're going to really want to talk to an experienced Connecticut divorce attorney about, because it just doesn't seem very cut and dry to me.
Yeah, sure. So that's another example where the accident or the injury may have occurred during the marriage or even while a divorce is pending, and while it may seem like a great case, there are also considerations for the spouse who's not injured. They may be now contributing more financially because the injured spouse is no longer able to work, right? So then we're looking at that. The spouse who isn't injured may be contributing toward medical costs and other financial concerns that happen even before, you know, while that 2-year statute of limitations is pending or before a case is even filed. So that might be something that you know, that you'd have to take a look at and take into consideration.
Yeah, and you know, I used to do divorce. I don't do it at all anymore. But I had done this area of law for about 10 years, and I guess the thing for me as a lawyer was always that I was always, you know, concerned most about not the things I knew, but the things like I didn't know. And sometimes clients wouldn't be maybe forthcoming about maybe something even like this, like a personal injury claim. Is that something that if somebody's going through a divorce that they should tell their divorce lawyer about?
Yeah, absolutely. I always tell people, you know, the more we know, the better, right? You know, full disclosure, open and honest is the best course. And then we can always, you know, we can always pull that information back again if it's not a marital asset or if it's not subject to, you know, the property division rules. But yeah, that's an interesting question, right? Does something have to be disclosed on the financial affidavit or through discovery if it's a claim that the incident has occurred but suit has not been filed? Right, it's similar to almost like an inheritance, right? If one spouse has a family, and do we know that they have a defined benefit, or is it something that, well, there might be a lot of family money there, but who knows what's going to happen? Someone might get written out of a will, for example, something like that. We just don't know. Is it truly an asset yet, or not?
Well, and I know too, I mean, you know, divorce is generally very, very final. So if you divide property up at the time of dissolution, it's pretty final, you know, but for fraud or but for concealing assets. And so if somebody's out there going through this themselves, like, they're in a potential minefield, because if they don't disclose it, or if it's not disclosed properly, then the divorce judgment could come back. It could be undone for, you know, for reasons of fraud. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Division of assets and debts in divorce, once there's an agreement or a court order, that's a final judgment. So you can't then, go back and revisit it like you might a custody decision where the best interests of the children are always at issue. And you can modify that as circumstances change. But division of assets and debts, again, is final. So, again, unless there's fraud or unless we find out that someone did not disclose, in this context, a personal injury settlement or that they had a claim pending, right? So that might be a reason. And the real difficulty is that if that occurs and you're the spouse that's found to have not disclosed it, right, you're going to be in a lot worse off position than had you just disclosed it. And maybe it's, again, subject to a fair and equitable distribution. The way it sort of normally works is if you're found to have hidden something or not disclosed it, there's going to be a little bit more of a punitive element there. Sometimes, often in agreements, it will even say, if something is found to have not been disclosed, then to prevent that, if it does occur, it goes entirely to the other spouse. There's really sort of a punitive piece to that.
Wow. So there is a lot to consider. Dave, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and about your practice and about, your approach to divorce? Because I know I've known you for a number of years, and I know prior to divorce, you were a very, very skilled litigator, defending claims against guys like me, and very skilled attorney in that respect, and you've brought it over to divorce. Can you just talk a little bit about about what you do and about how you do it?
Sure. Yeah. So I live in Glastonbury with my family. My office is located in Marlborough, Connecticut, and I spent the first 12, almost 13 years of my career as a defense litigation lawyer, and opened my own practice in 2016, and now almost exclusively focus on divorce and family law. What I tell people is my practice is litigation focused, but really what we're really trying to do is find solutions for people outside of court if we can, especially in divorce and family law, where we're really trying to solve the problem as opposed to win the case. And solving the problem is working through these issues, taking all these factors into consideration, and again coming up with fair and equitable solutions if we can find them.
And so, Dave, I've known you to be very practical, but I mean, and as a person and as a friend, I just, how would somebody go about reaching you? What's the best way to do that?
Sure. Yeah. Anyone can call the office at any time. We're at 860-657-1426. Or you can learn more about my practice at postlawct.com, and we have information there about some of the substantive law areas of law that we practice, and hopefully you can learn about some of the approach that I take with my divorce and family law cases. Another way to find me is social media. So, looking up Post Law on, Facebook, Instagram. We try to stay active there to, stay in touch with the community.
And, wherever you're watching or listening to this, we're going to put links to all that for Dave. So, I mean, my bottom line takeaway from today's conversation is, if you have a personal injury case or if you've had a settlement, you really, really, really need to be talking to, an experienced divorce attorney, because, I think at the end of the day, if you don't do it right, it's going to cost you or potentially a lot of money. So you need somebody who's been there, who can work through that process with you and can make sure that the I's are dotted, the T's are crossed, and it's done right so you can get your divorce and, you can move on with your life. I think that those things are just very important. I think this was very informative to me, and I'm sure it's going to be very informative to our audience. So thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Ryan. It's fun to be here.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Connecticut personal injury attorney Ryan McKean, giving you straight talk and answering your questions about Connecticut personal injury law. It's serious stuff. We hope you've gotten some useful and practical information from this show, and we'll be back soon. But in the meantime, find Ryan on Twitter at Ryan McKean, on Facebook at CT Trial Firm, on LinkedIn at Ryan McKean, and on Instagram at CT Injury Lawyer. Till next time.